This is the Marketing Development Podcast, brought to you by the Marketing Development Academy, the online community designed to help you develop your marketing business, skills, and career by exploring the world of marketing and entrepreneurship. Here is your host, Pete Everett.
Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast, and today I am joined by a guest that we've been trying to arrange for a little while, but has a really exciting story to tell us, Mr. Martin Huntbach from Jammy Digital. Martin, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks so much, Pete. Really appreciate having me on.
No problem at all, mate. And I'll let you do sort of your intro in a minute. We should sort of explain your one half of Jammy Digital with your lovely wife, Lindsay. And I know it's just the two of us today, but we'll give Lindsay a shout out right at the top of the show so that, you know, she's included right from the off.
Yeah, absolutely. She is absolutely the brains of the operation. She definitely needs a shout out. We run the business together and we love it. So it's just a shame she can't be on here. But with everything going on, she's got the little guy today. So I'm in the office speaking to you, which I'm the lucky one today.
Well, yeah, I suppose she's not. She's probably chasing him around a beach or something in 30-odd degrees as we're recording this. So no, that's absolutely fine. So but big shout out to Lindsay. So Martin, do you want to? I've already mentioned Jammy Digital, but do you want to sort of give a brief sort of intro as to who you are and what you do? And I know that's going to lead on to sort of the rest of our discussion, but give us your elevator.
Yeah, I don't really elevator pitch. They're a bit scary, aren't they, when you say elevator? But essentially, we run a kind of a web agency. We have done for a good few years now, predominantly building WordPress websites. But actually, more recently, we've been transitioning into more consulting and training and teaching. So we do kind of less of the done for you web design now, and kind of advise businesses more. Through our membership community, we have people, you know, who want to build and grow their websites, and that's what they do. They join our membership. Mm-hmm. We've got, you know, in-person workshops that we do where we talk all about content marketing. We've got courses. We're writing a book about content marketing and how to attract better clients. So, and we just launched a new product now. So it's all content and how that impacts, you know, customers and the types of customers you get and how to get more customers. It's kind of where our passion is. So hopefully that's some kind of an elevator pitch. I don't know.
I was kidding. You didn't have to go full on elevator. It's fine.
No, maybe I need to practice that. And next time someone asks me for an elevator pitch, I'm unprepared for that one. But yeah, no, that's kind of what we do.
Cool. So if we just sort of go back in the time machine a little bit, I know you guys have been running Jammy Digital for what, 10 or so years now?
A long time, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And in that time, the world's changed quite a lot. So if we just sort of step back a little bit and think about when you started Jammy Digital. So how was that conceptualized? What was the sort of story behind it? What was kind of your offer at the time?
Well, technically we've been building websites for a while under different various agencies, and Jammy Digital didn't come along until like 2015. So we've been building websites for kind of 10 years, but Jammy Digital came down the line. But ultimately WordPress web design and building websites started off with, you know, taking on small paying clients for £150 when we first started. Yeah. and just getting some experience, really. I always thought that I was pretty good at design from college, using Photoshop, and I had a good eye for design. And Lindsay has a degree in marketing, business marketing. So she understood copywriting and branding and that kind of thing. So it was a really a nice fit, actually. So when we started, I did most of the design work and she did most of the messaging and quite a lot of the copywriting as well. But again, we were taking on local businesses and trying to convince people that they needed a website, which is probably not a new story. You know, lots of us have started off that way. And it just so happens that, you know, we gradually increased our prices and we got a little bit better at what we were doing. But we were still fighting for sales, really. And it was probably closer to 2016, 2017 when we started to discover content marketing, and actually reading books about it and understanding what it was, and reading books like Utility by Jay Baer, which I think was like 2015, actually. So we didn't kind of do anything about it up until kind of 2016, 2017, when we really kind of got our heads down. And since we really kind of put our kind of practice what we preach, really, we've been talking about content marketing and producing better content for a long time. It's just that we weren't actually doing it for ourselves. We were just advising other people. And I think once we started doing that, our entire business changed forever. You're talking kind of better clients, higher paying clients, dramatically higher paying clients, because they were able to see our knowledge and we were happy to put our knowledge out there with just complete transparency and complete honesty. And I think a lot of agencies have a problem doing that for various reasons, but that's what really changed everything for us. It was the fact that we were prepared to put everything that was in our heads on our website, and it just, people just loved it. It just worked, and it works for so many other businesses as well. But it's actually, you know, it does take a bit of work, but once we did it, everyone was like, wow, you guys are amazing. And I'm like, no, I'm a beginner. Like, this is, we're just putting our heads down and we're writing out the content and we're producing content. But ultimately, we just started to get really, really high quality leads, and they were just a lot more educated by the time they got to us, I suppose. And that's really what changed the agency forever for us.
So you see, there's two things there that I think are really important. The first is that, like nearly every agency owner I speak to in the world, they admit that they don't always take their own advice when it comes to actually doing their own marketing. And whilst we say one thing to our clients, our own agency sites get a very different level of treatment. That's normally because we put client sites first and we don't have the, you know, we don't have the time in order to do ours. It always falls bottom of the pile. I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just saying that's the way it is.
True, so
the first thing that's important is that you noticed that, but you actually made yourself do something about it. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is that, as you said, you then were prepared to put anything that was in your heads on your website and actually live, like, the website became a sort of living reflection of what it's like to work in your office, what the sort of clients are that you want, what your values are, all of that kind of stuff. And there's one piece of content that springs to mind. I can't remember the exact title. I'll find it and drop a link in the show notes. But it was, you wrote a piece of content about the types of clients you didn't want. I remember, I think we must have connected at a time when, sort of around when that was launched, because I remember that being one of the first bits of content I read from you. And it was a very good read. But then you stand back and think, hang on, this is a design agency that's now put this on their website about clients they don't want to hear from. So you not only did you do something about it, the second point was you then actually actioned it and carried it on through and were committed to that. Mm-hmm. This is quite a long question, I suppose, but really the what I'm trying to get around to is to say that when people do look at content marketing, they do see that it's quite a big thing. If you're starting from nothing, it seems like you've got a Herculean task to achieve to get it going. So, you know, where did you start with that? Did you literally just sit down one day and say, right, we've got a blog on our website, so what should we post? Or did you put a strategy in place and sort of research it and plan it out ahead of that when you were starting out?
Yeah, so I tell you exactly, it feels like yesterday, I suppose, because it takes time out of your week and your day, you kind of do remember it. And because we've been documenting our processes and we teach it so often, it's I have this conversation on a daily basis. So yeah, essentially what happened was we were part of a community where we were given the task to produce one piece of content each week. The community is not there anymore, but it allowed us to kind of see our content go up and then actually have kind of, it felt a little bit like a boot camp, you know, when lots of other people are also doing it and you don't want to be the one to let the group down. Yeah. It was quite nice to actually be part of something like that. Although it's not essential, you know, that was just a nice to have. That's really kind of what got us started. But ultimately, the first problem we really had was more sales, more inquiries. So that was the very first problem. So the content we were producing out there was just ultra honest and transparent about things like how much does it cost to build a website if you come to us? How much does it cost if you go to somebody else? You know, cost-related articles, for instance. And then we started creating content that started to get a lot of traffic, like why we're not ranking in Google and how to fix it. You know, know, top 10 ranking tracking software, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's all kind of helpful content that gets a lot of traffic, but it doesn't necessarily get buyers. But it's nice to see what does generate traffic. So there's more customers, more inquiries, but there's also more traffic, and playing around and testing things allowed us to see what actually worked. So we kind of mastered the inquiry thing. We started producing content all the time, and it was quite in depth, because I just feel occasionally what happens is when someone says, oh, I need to write a blog post, quite often it's like, I just need to publish anything, which means it's usually 500, 600 words. It's kind of a broad overview of a particular topic. It might be something about, you know, GDPR. It might be something about the fact that you've recruited a new member of your team and you want to talk about it. But realistically, is that going to generate new inquiries or more traffic? Probably not. So I actually think for this is going to sound bizarre because I talk about content so much, but producing that kind of content could potentially have a negative impact, I think. I think it's much better to spend more time on one particular piece of content that's going to make a big difference, rather than just creating a blog post a week just for the sake of it and having somebody think, oh, I've got to get that blog post in. What can I write quickly? You know, we're not journalists. We don't have kind of a word count to get in. So you have the power in order to take 2 weeks rather than 1 week in order to create an amazing piece of content rather than just dishing anything out there. So we've kind of mastered the ability to generate a lot more traffic and a lot more inquiries. The problem then became the type of inquiries we were getting. So we kind of adjusted our content marketing to reflect, okay, who are our ideal customers? What are we finding that's taking a lot of our time in our business? How can we educate people more so that when they get in touch with us, they're pretty much our ideal customers? Mm-hmm. So it just became, imagine that you're kind of creating a maze and only the best customers can actually, because what you don't want to do is just spend all day replying to people who are asking for prices. How much do you charge for a website? That's not what they charge over there. I'm going to go over there. You know, they treat you as a commodity. They don't treat you as an expert. And that's what the content allows us to do, really. You know, we had people ringing us from other countries saying, I've read this blog post about this. And like, for instance, this is going to sound really random, but we created a blog post about the top 10 best web design agencies in Manchester, and we didn't include ourselves in there. So this was it's so crazy. And it's something I got from a good friend of ours, Marcus Sheridan, yep, who wrote a book called They Ask You Answer, which a lot of our content came from at the early stages. Most of our content actually came from that. And the idea really is that you create a blog post. It's completely unbiased, which is why you can't include yourself in there. Although you do say blatantly, we offer web design. We're based in Manchester, you know. But the idea is you want to rank on high up on Google for keywords like web design Manchester. And that article ranks really, really well. And we had people ringing us saying, I've read this post. I'm a bit confused. Don't you offer web design? Because, you know, it sounds like you're really honest. And anyone who writes this piece of content, clearly, they know what they're talking about. And we've been working with this client for 3 years since, or two or three years since we published that content. And he's based, I can't really remember where he's based, but it happens all the time. We get that kind of inquiry all the time. And it's that transparency mixed with who you want to work with. So that's the kind of content we created a while ago. And then we started creating the content like you're talking about, which is the kind of content that says you might be a right fit. You also may be a wrong fit. And people can self-identify. You know, if you just want a cheap website, we're not the right fit for you. I mean, that's what you would say to a client on the phone. So why would you not say it on your website? Agencies always complain about, I'm just getting so many inquiries about people not wanting to pay my prices and they're trying to haggle and trying to get me down. Put your content on your website, talk about it more, talk about what makes the price go up and down. And eventually, you know, you'll only attract your ideal customers. And that's why we tend to close pretty much 90-95% of the proposals that we send out, is because our website and the content that we've got it enables people to self-identify that, yes, we are the right fit. Yes, we are prepared to invest in our website. And it was just really interesting because there was this one phone call that we had with a client. Someone said, it's somebody we knew, they were kind of around the circle and within the circles that we were in. And they just got in touch one day and they said, okay, we're ready to sort our website out now. Can we book a call with you this afternoon? And bear in mind, we'd never spoke to them about a website before. And we were on a sales call with them for 20 minutes. And that was it. They were ready to sign up. They said, as soon as you send the proposal through, we'll just sign up. They didn't even say proposal. They just said, send us the invoice. and it was done and dusted. And I got off that call and I thought to myself, I've not actually sold anything. Like literally, I've not sold anything today, but they've bought from us. And I suppose that was just the massive benefit. It's great if you're introverted and you don't like sales, I suppose.
Well, yeah, there is that to it. Although, I mean, that is an incredible story. And I mean, you know, I thought we were doing quite well in our agency, because we closed somewhere between sort of 70 and 80% of proposals. And in previous agencies I've worked in, kind of 50% was kind of the expected average. So I thought we were doing quite well. But, if you know, your 90 to 95% of proposals that you're sending out, I mean, if there's any agency owners listening to this that doesn't think to themselves, I wish I could close that much, then they're either doing really well or they're not thinking straight. But it's all through this vetting process, and that is where content marketing does become I liked your analogy of the maze. In fact, I've written it down as a pull quote from the episode, to be honest, because you're not trying to find a quick fix. You're not trying to run a Google ad or a Facebook ad. You're not trying to get traffic now, get inquiries now, but it's about that elongated, sustainable input of leads that come. And so your content marketing to begin with is an investment into that. And of course, once you start getting the inquiries through, then that just fuels the fire for you to keep on going and going.
Absolutely. And your goals change, you know, your business goals change. It was initially more sales, more inquiries, and then it was like, oh, we don't want more. We really don't want more. It's going to take more time. And this is another reason why we're writing the book, Content Fortress, is because that's all about how to attract better clients. So throughout our journey, and as we've been documenting, it's not just about, you will know this as well. If your phone was ringing off the hook, you know, you'd have to think about hiring staff. You'd have to think about replying to all these people. You'd probably get no work done. If you were getting 10, 15 inquiries a day, then you'd have to adjust things in your business, and it wouldn't necessarily be stress-free just because people want to give you money. There's a lot of infrastructure changes to make. And we just identified what our end goal was as an agency and as a family. And then we kind of just reversed engineered that to create the content about how to, you know, attract your ideal clients and how to repel the ones that are not the right fit. You just don't want to waste time, I think. And we kind of obsessed with making sure that we don't waste any of our time, especially with everything going on at the minute. You know, we've not got a lot of time. You know, lots of families are in the same boat that we are, not as much childcare, you know, having to divvy up the childcare throughout the day and not having much time in the office means that you just have to be really, really effective and efficient when you are in the office. So just turns out that's not why we created the content. It's just that we're massively seeing the benefit now with everything going on, because we're not spending an awful lot of time communicating with clients and potential clients. They're either getting in touch and they're happy to go ahead, or they're not, which is quite handy.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I fully agree with you. We've spoken on this podcast quite a lot in the past about understanding what success looks like and having that as your end goal. So, and you're dead right. Sometimes more isn't the right thing for you, isn't what you want. You know, if you then get shoehorned into needing to hire staff, as you say, or that kind of thing, you can end up doing the 9-to-5 job where actually you wanted to start working for yourself because you wanted more freedom and you wanted to get away from that. I'm giving a hypothetical reason here, but that's it, having that understanding of what success looks like to you. And that doesn't have to be a finished picture either. It, you know, as you've said, you've pivoted your business a number of times, and I know we're just about to start talking about kind of the next bit, but the you've done it with kind of a sort of general consensus of, look, well, we want life to look like this. We don't want this. We know what we don't want. What we do want fits within some parameters, but it may change a little bit as we go along, and that's absolutely fine. And of course, you've got Lucas now, which probably changed things quite dramatically a few years, a year or two ago. So just while we're talking about it, you've mentioned your book, Content Fortress. It's not out yet. There is a pre-sale, but that's the launch date's due for September, sometime like that.
Yeah, it's going to be late September, Content Fortress. So this is kind of, funnily enough, this is a... The title came from me giving a presentation at the Agency Transformation Live event by Lee Jackson, who I'm sure has been on this podcast before. He's a good friend of both of ours.
Yep.
It just so happened that I used that analogy when explaining how content marketing has impacted our business, and about having a kind of a fortress to protect your time and your your staff's time. And then people really connected with that term content fortress. So that's the title of the book. But yeah, it's kind of based around 8 pillars of the different types of content that you can create in order to only attract your ideal clients and repel the ones who cause stress, anxiety, you know, the ones that email you and you kind of like your heart sinks when you know you get an email from them. And we don't want that, you know, you don't want to live like that and you don't want a business to impact you that way. So the idea really is there are kind of 8 pillars of content that you can create to fix it all, I suppose. We've done like loads of research, loads of interviews for it as well, and got loads of examples. So we're really excited about that. But yeah, that's out late September.
Cool. So we'll make sure that we drop it in the group when that's out, and we'll have you back on the show and we'll go through it, and that'd be brilliant. But what you've done, I mean, you've mentioned that you've spoken at events, and I think actually Agency Transformation Live was the first time we met in person, wasn't it? We've been connected online for a while, but
yeah,
that was a mad kind of couple of days meeting people that were sort of everybody from your heroes to people that you're looking at thinking, I know you, but I just can't place you. And everybody in between. But you've mentioned that you've spoken on stage, and your talks at both Agency Transformation Lives were incredible, because this year you were the opening keynote, weren't you, on the first day?
Yeah, which was really nice. Yeah, it's a bit different from what I was expecting with it being online, but what a fantastic online event it was. It was just phenomenal. Really, really good. But yeah, no, really, really amazing to have Lee Jackson up, ask me, Lindsay and I to open up the entire event, which is just phenomenal, really.
Yeah, I wasn't a keynote or anything. I was just one of the session speakers, but it was very different, it being online, from a speaker's point of view, because Lee asked for all of the talks to be pre-recorded so that he was kind of broadcasting them as a live feed, which was really good from a speaker's point of view, because there was also then a chat box next to the window. So as the speaker, you could then be interacting with people in real time as they're watching you talk. I don't know if you got that as a kind of, it was like having sort of the workshop and the speech all at one time.
It's absolutely incredible. You know, one of the things I love to do when I speak is interact with the audience. It's one thing we did a lot of at the workshop that we ran in February. And that's what I absolutely loved about this virtual event, is that I was able to interact with everybody throughout it the same way that I would on stage, yeah, which was really, really nice. And it was just, I think all future virtual events should take note and should get in touch with Lee Jackson and find out what he did and how they can do it too. Pay him some money and get him to talk to you, because it was just phenomenal. And everybody said that, I think.
Absolutely. So just to give Lee another push, Lee, I know you'll be listening to this. Lee runs he has two businesses. One of them's Event Engine, and that platform that he used for Agency Transformation Live, he is now developed into the Event Engine backend, or one of the options for that. So if you are looking to run a virtual event, really do go and speak to Lee, because he does know his stuff, and the infrastructure he put in place worked flawlessly from start to finish. And the speakers loved it, the audience loved it. I have no idea whether he pulled any hair out, because he's not got a lot to pull, but it just worked. It lifted virtual events to a new level, really. And so go and check that out if that's something that you're looking into. So that sort of brings us into then the current time, the present day, because your book, I'm presuming you've written it and it's in the edit. You know, you're now waiting for the edit and the publishing to sort of happen.
Yes.
So you've, as we said in the pre-chat, there ain't many stages around at the minute for you to work on, thanks to coronavirus. So you've put together a toolkit to help people get started on this journey. So do you want to give us a sort of quick sort of breakdown about what that's about as well?
Yeah, no, thanks. It's called the Content Planning Toolkit, and it's kind of our way to say to people, it's very, very straightforward to create content if you have a strategy. So the idea really is that we've taken everything that we've done over the past few years, and we've created a toolkit, which is kind of like an online bundle with a mini course and with some content planning documents as well. things like checklists to make sure that if you're writing a blog post, for instance, you want to make sure that you do certain things to give it the best chance of ranking and getting engagement. Also a video checklist as well. If your medium of choice is YouTube, there's a YouTube checklist and a podcast checklist as well, and loads of other great stuff. But one of the main things for this is if you're really struggling, when we've been speaking to people about content, they always say that their biggest struggles are time and knowing what to write. So I'm not sure what to write when I'm in front of my blank page, and also finding the time to write, and also kind of like not knowing if you're going to get results out of it, which is one of the things when you're trading time for creating a blog post and hoping that you get results and then you don't get anything back, it's pretty demotivating. Mm-hmm. So we kind of ironed out those kinks really, and we've given you a toolkit that's got specifically a what we call an expanded content matrix. So the idea behind this really, it came initially from Marcus Sheridan from They Ask You Answer, where he talks about listing your services along the top and then creating, the specific content down the left-hand side so that you can kind of cross-reference it. Yep. Ours is a lot bigger than that, and it talks about breaking down all of the intricacies of your services. And it literally is a fill-in-the-blanks document anyway. It's a Google Sheet, that particular document in the toolkit, and it will literally give you over 500 content ideas. Now that sounds overwhelming, but it just means that you never ever have to struggle to come up with content again. And with the videos in there as well, the mini course, you'll be able to know exactly what to write and how to write it. And there's loads of examples in there as well. So yeah, we've kind of done our best to make this as accessible as we can, and we've introduced it just last week at a ridiculous price, which is $27. So obviously we have like a membership and we sell courses for hundreds of pounds, but this was for us, this was one thing that we wanted to give to everybody for a nominal fee, just to make sure that, you know, everyone can get started. There's literally no excuse for not getting started. And that's why we made it $27, which is crazy. The amount of people have said, no, you can't do this. But we're just like, well, we've got other stuff to sell later on down the line. If people want to hire us, buy our book and do other stuff with us, they can do. But the very first thing that we want to advise people to do is to get started with content. And then we can go from there, you know. But that's the very first thing. Time and money shouldn't be an issue. And hopefully the toolkit sorts one of those and the cost sorts the other.
Yeah, that's it's absolutely brilliant. And I do have access to the content planning toolkit. As Martin said, it's all that there's so much in there. For, you know, it's $27, guys. I mean, you know, if you're listening to this in the UK, that's what, 19 quid? It's really not a lot of cash. And the value that you can get out of it and the things that you can action from today will last you time and time again. And not only that, it's not only something that you can apply to your own business, but if you're running an agency, if you're a marketing consultant, you've then got the tools and the sheets and the methodology to then roll this out for your clients as well if you want to. So it really is a mega offer. Martin's been really kind enough to offer me an affiliate link. So if you go to peteeverett.com/content-planning-toolkit, then he's not even keeping all the 27 books. He's offered to give some to me. peteeverett.com/content-planning-toolkit. It'll forward you straight on over to his website. And you can take it from there. The website has all the details about what's in the kit, what to expect, how to get in. When you register, it's all delivered online, so you're not waiting for anything or anything like that. It just comes straight through in your inbox, and you're away. Martin, I mean that. You've covered so much in this short episode. Is what's next? Is there anything, you know, are you focusing on the launch of the book? What's next for Martin and Lindsay?
Yeah, I think with our courses and obviously we have one of our main parts of our business is the membership community. We spend an awful lot of time in our membership, and that's what we love to do, where we actually review people's content every week. So when they submit it, we review their content. You know, we have various challenges throughout the year, which that's what gets us out of bed in the morning, seeing how people get results. So that's kind of where the bulk of our efforts go. But yeah, the book, I'm sure we'll be speaking on stages next year. when we get out of this little rut. And obviously the agency that we run, Jammy Digital, isn't going anywhere. It will be more of a consultancy type content planning one-to-one service. But obviously we want to help as many people as we can, which is why we create little products like this and help people get started. And if they want to work with us later, by all means. If not, that's okay too. But if we can just help a few people see the success that we've seen and that our members have seen and people who've worked with it in the past, then that's really what makes us happy.
Fantastic, mate. That is really great. It's a really great note to end on. So if people do want to reach out to you and Lindsay, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Yeah, well, we're on Facebook. We've got a free Facebook group at jammydigital.com/Facebook. If I remembered rightly, I've not said that in a while. I think that's what it is anyway.
I'll double check it before I put the link in the show notes. So whatever the link is in the show notes will work.
I'm sure it is. So yeah, we kind of mess around in there a little bit as well and answer some questions. And if you want to reach out to us personally, you can email martin@jammydigital.com and we'll get back to you.
Fantastic. And guys, if you've been wondering what there's like, if there's an odd background noise for the last sort of 4 minutes of what we've just been talking about, somebody in our office has set the burglar alarm off. So that's that's what it is. We're not going to be able to edit that out throughout the end of the podcast. So I'll just go straight in and say, yeah. So the end of that funny sort of buzzing noise is I've got everything shut to try and keep things like that out from the recording. But unfortunately, the alarm on the building isn't one that I'm able to block out completely.
I can't hear anything, so you might get lucky.
Might get lucky. All right, well, I'll have to now leave this in in case somebody can hear it. Anyway, that'll be fine. Mate, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. And if you want to go and download that resource again, it is peteeverett.com/content-planning-toolkit.
Thanks so much, Pete. Really appreciate you having me on.
Cheers, mate. See you soon.
Bye-bye.